welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'd like to begin the broadcast by sharing Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. We're to pray always. We're to maintain a spirit of prayer. And I've been so stirred and excited about this wonderful privilege we have that I just want to encourage your heart to renew your purpose, to renew your desire to seek God in prayer, to believe in a new way that God wants to answer your prayers. All of us have had times we've prayed about things and the answer hasn't come immediately, but that doesn't mean that it will not be answered. And in the last several broadcasts, I've been looking at the subject of prayer and sharing with you some of the reasons why prayer is not answered. And I'd like to continue that on this broadcast because, God, you know, God is a God of order and of laws. He runs the universe according to spiritual principles as well as natural principles. The science is discovering some of the marvelous ways that this universe operates, and it's fantastic, it's marvelous, and it reveals the incredible divine intelligence that holds this entire universe together. So just as there are natural laws, there's the law of gravity, the law of inertia, there are spiritual laws as well. And many times I think we get perplexed, we get upset, we get concerned when things don't go the way we think they should go, and the devil tempts us to get angry or throw up our hands or blame God. And beloved, there's reasons, always reasons for things. We may not understand everything. There are times God withholds understanding. We may not understand why certain things happen, why someone passed away. I believe in time when we stand before the Lord, He'll give us answers. But there certainly are reasons we can find in the Word of God to some of the dilemmas that we face. And the Word says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So knowledge of the Word is extremely important for us to live a victorious Christian life. And I speak out of my own experience. It's just not knowledge of the Word, knowing what the Word says. It's acting on it. It's a whole nother thing to treat reading the Bible or the Christian life, the principles, the doctrines, as some kind of study, and it's a whole nother thing to incorporate it into one's life. So, having said that, let's go on and share some of the reasons why prayer is not answered. I had covered on previous broadcasts about a sin and doubt and unbelief and double-mindedness. There's another cause for unanswered prayer, and James, the fourth chapter, verse 3, talks about that, and that's praying amiss. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. In opposition to that, 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And there are certain things, such as healing, provision of needs, that are definitely His will. We don't need to pray if it's His will. The Word clearly declares it is His will. So praying amiss, and then many times people do not are not effective in their prayer life because of false teaching. Romans 16:17-18 said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." That's why it's so important to read the word and know the word for yourself. And Ephesians 4:14 says, "Henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." 1 Timothy 4:1-2 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." That verbiage isn't used that often. "But the Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Why am I sharing all these scriptures? Because the word is warning us that there will be those who pervert the word of God for selfish reasons and motives, for personal gain. But we don't have to be fearful, because the Lord gives us discernment, He gives us wisdom, and we don't need to be deceived, because the word, however, this is a reality. These scriptures are in the word, 2 Timothy 4:3-4, "But the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That's serious. They knew the truth and then turned away. And in Titus 1:10-11, the word says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." In other words, for money. Some people will do anything. And then in 2 John 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." So, if we know the word of God, we do not have to be fearful about being deceived, but we have to make sure that everything that is presented, everything that we read, that we hear, lines up with the word of God. And then what's another area? Well, an unyielded life. 1 John 3:18-22 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And James 4:7-10 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And so it's important that, you know, many times people want the blessings of God, but they're not willing to obey what the word says. And as a result, they're not going to receive the things that they ask for, because they're not living in accord with what the word says. And for every promise, there is a condition. And then another area could be a lack of agreement in prayer. Matthew 12:25, Jesus stated clearly, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." And in Matthew 16:19, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 18:18-19 says, I know these are familiar scriptures, but we need to hear the word of the Lord. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven." So it's important to agree, and if there's not agreement, well, obviously, according to these scriptures, we can't expect results. And then another area of reality, spiritual reality, is spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 talks about wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a warfare, but prayer is a spiritual weapon, and as we are clothed with the full armor of God and wield the sword of the Spirit, we can experience the same victory that Jesus did, because he used that rhema word of God when he was tempted in the wilderness. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, when the devil tempted him to turn stones into bread. So the word is the sword of the Spirit. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then worldly entanglements can cause people, they lose the zeal and the intensity of their first love, and the world draws them back. Matthew 6:26 says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And James uses strong language in 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, remember now, he was speaking to the church, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Teaching us that, and this is Titus 2:12, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, how should we live? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So that is another area. The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Another area where we can be hindered is in a lack of knowledge. Jeremiah 5:4 says, therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. And Micah 4:12 says, but they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as sheaves into the floor. And Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So that's why I'm sharing this, the word, with you, because a lack of knowledge causes many to lose out in terms of God's blessings. Well, my time is just fleeing away. The announcer is going to give you our mailing address, and I'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Until then, this is Sister Glass, and may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.